Paula's going to get things started off this morning. Thanks, Paula.
Good morning. I have to tell you, when we the songs that we just sung, they really all, four of them really struck my heart. And then when Phil read from Romans, that got to me too. But the two things that I thought about were the scripture from Jeremiah where God said he knows the plans he has for us. And then the other one, and I can't think, I think it's in Romans, and I'm not sure how it says that he has a purpose. It's already been predetermined what. And so I was thinking, wow, you know, I would not have chose the path that he gave to me, but I would not change it for the world.
Amen.
And I'll tell you why. On November 25th, next 2 weeks from yesterday, my husband and I will be married 50 years.
Yeah.
And I came to know the Lord. I came to know the Lord in 1980. We got married in 1967. Probably a lot of you weren't even here yet. But anyway, and I came to know the Lord in 1980. And from 1980 to 2017, I had prayed for my husband to come to know the Lord. And in May, that happened. And the difference that I've seen in him since then has been amazing. So, on November 25th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in this church, my husband and I are going to renew our vows. And what makes it so special to me and momentous is because when we do it this time, we both know the Lord. And, you know, it was very important when we did it before, we took every vow very seriously, even though we didn't know Jesus. We believed in God. And we have lived out every single one of them, richer or poorer, sickness and health, better or worse. But I believe because I knew the Lord since 1980, he gave us the ability, I don't even know if that's the right word, to be able to make it through. Because believe me, if I said I never wanted to leave, it would be a lie. There were times when I wanted to end it because it was tough being married to somebody who didn't know the Lord, and I wanted to walk in the right way. But God has redeemed that all now, and so I am looking so forward to 2 weeks from yesterday to come before the Lord and God, friends and family. And, you know, I consider you all to be my family. So I wanted to extend the invitation that if you're not doing anything on the 25th of November, please come and witness my husband and I getting married again in front of God with our hearts to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You hear that? You guys got an invite. Invite to an awesome celebration. Thank you, Paula, for sharing that with us. That is an incredible, incredible testimony. Your story is a story of perseverance and developing character, right? And long suffering and the goodness of God and his faithfulness. Oh, that's good stuff. Amen. We are in a sermon series called Testify, and you know, the act of testifying is when you attribute glory to God. You ascribe glory to God in your story. And so, in other words, you the Bible talks about you attributing worth to him, that he gets all the honor, that he gets all the credit for how your life is right now because of his goodness and his faithfulness and his mercy and his grace. And you testify about that. You share with other people how awesome God has been. And so that's kind of what the theme for this series is when we're testifying. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 34. That's where we're going to read this morning. I heard it once said that testimonies make the gospel truth take on flesh and blood. It's where the promises of God, the truth of the gospel, takes on flesh and blood in your story. It's where we said last week that you and I are conduits of truth, right? That we carry the truth of God. We carry the truth that God is who he says he is in our stories. When our story connected and intersected with his story, it became his story. Our story became his story. And now our story that we tell is that of all of what he's done, his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, and how amazing he was. And so now we are, it's where the gospel truth now is taking on flesh and blood. It's not just on paper. It's not just words. But you're living proof, living evidence that God is who he says he is. Amen? Amen. Here we are, Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. Right? He says this. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. There's one amen. I got one. When the righteous cry for help, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That is an amazing promise. This passage, it really illuminates the promises of God to us. And it's amazing because David, King David, is writing this from a unique perspective. He's writing this from a perspective of he's not talking about external wounds. He's talking about, he's writing about, he's testifying about these inner wounds that are going on. Inner wounds that he's experiencing. And he's writing about what God has done for him. He's testifying right now of what God has done for him. You know, David, up until this point, he's been betrayed. He's been slandered. He's been accused wrongly by people that were close to him. And not only that, but is that the king of Israel at the time has been, his life is in danger, and he has been now sent into exile. The king of the country that you love, that you're given, you've fought for, you've bled for, you've sweated for, and all of a sudden you're being exiled out of it. Can you imagine the internal turmoil that King David must have been feeling? Depression, anxiety, fear. He writes in some places in Psalms of how great the sorrow was in his soul during this time. Even one point he says that the sorrow was so strong and painful that it had taken possession of his soul. It was just too much. He said it was exceeding, and it has just taken possession of my soul, the sorrow. If you just read through the Psalms, you can feel what David is feeling at times on so many occasions. And it's not of an external pain. It's of an internal pain. And so here he's testifying. He's bearing witness to the truth of who God is and His promises to each and every one of us who have deep wounds, internal wounds. These are God's promises. This is what He's testifying. This is what He's experienced. This is the evidence of the truth of who God is. Growing up as a young man, I don't know about you, some of the other guys in this room, but I used to think scars were cool. Anybody else? Any other guys in this room? Maybe girls, I don't know. Yeah, I used to think scars were cool. Why'd you think scars were cool? Because it's like, oh man, when you saw a dude with a scar, you're like, whoa, dude. It represents, you know, a battle tested, right? It represents a conquered test. It represents strength through adversity, right? And I don't know what it is. It was just something about scars. It was just like appealing to me. It was just, this is just dudes, you know, this is what we're about. And so a few weeks ago, I was in here praying by myself, and I had this scar on my hand, and I was just itching it, you know, as I was praying, and I realized just how sensitive it still was. I was like, whoa, it's still painful. A scar on my hand, and it was beyond the scab stage, you know, when the scab is peeled off and the new skin begins to come forward and the nerve endings are regenerating themselves, right? And so it's still a little painful and sensitive, even though, you know, the wound had happened weeks prior. And I was kind of amazed at how much sensitive it still was and how kind of painful it still was. And the Lord took this as an opportunity for a teaching moment. You know, here I am, I'm praying, and I'm just, you know, communing with God, and all of a sudden my mind is like, whoa, it's still painful. And the Lord just began to speak to my heart, and He began to tell me that scar is the evidence of His healing. That scar is evidence, it's proof of His healing. And that was, you know, pretty monumental for me and what I was going through in that time. Scars tell a story. You know, every scar you have on your body has a story, and every story ends with what? Healing. Healing. Every one of us has scars on our bodies right now. And every single one of our scars tell a story. They remind us of something. They remind us most of the time of something unpleasant, right? the wounds that we have and the scars that we have on our body. So a lot of times, a lot of the scars on our body, you can point to them, and there's something traumatic that is attached to that scar. You look at it, and you're like, you're reminded of how painful it was. You're reminded of how traumatic it was. You're reminded of, man, I remember that moment. I'm very aware of that moment, and it was traumatic. When I was about 10 years old, I was up in my grandfather's mountain house, and it was up in the Poconos, and he had a house and a farm, and I was up there, and all the men in the family would go up there once a year just to, you know, just go and be Italians together, and you just eat and do whatever we did. And so I'm up there with my cousin and his friends, and they were older. They were about 5, 6, 7 years older than me, and I was about 10, and we were in the barn together, and I witnessed them shooting the cows with BB guns, you know, those pump ones. You know, the more you pump it, the harder it shoots, right? And they're shooting the cows in the head and in the butt. And I was like, what? And I'm 10 years old. I went to go tell on them, right? I said, you don't do this to animals, right? So I went to go tell on them. And so my cousin's friend, this was his first time there. He was never invited back. But he's up. He's on the top level of the barn. He sticks the gun out of the hole of the barn. And I'm like about 20 yards away. And then he pumped that thing hard. And boom, ding, boom. And then he shot me right in the head with a BB gun. I mean, I'm 10 years old. I'm screaming, okay? I wasn't tough then. I'm screaming. There's blood gushing down my face. I'm running inside. I had to take an emergency room hospital visit, you know, and they had to carve that thing out, sew it all up together. And I've got a scar there now. You can't see it now because I'm, you know, slicking my hair back now on top of it. But every time my hair is short, I can see that scar. And every time I'm in the mirror and I get out of the shower you can see that scar. And it's even sensitive still. I can even touch it. I'm not going to touch it now. I'll mess up my hair. But every time I touch it, it's still sensitive. And every time I see it in the mirror, I'm reminded of how traumatic that scar was, that moment was. And you know, I've got other scars. We all have scars on our bodies. And each scar tells a story, don't they? They tell a story. They remind us of something. And over time, you know, these scars, they fade and they don't hurt anymore. But some of us, some of the scars, when you still touch them, when they're healing, the healing process, and I think Keith can attest to this, when you touch it, when it's in the healing process, it's still sensitive, right? The nerve endings are still forming. They're still regenerating. And the interesting part about it is that your nerve endings are attached to your brain, and so when it's touched, it's just like, yo, dummy, stop touching me. It hurts, right? It's just like, this is painful. And you're reminded, your brain is reminded of how the pain that you experienced when it took place. But as we all know, that, you know, pain is not all physical. All pain is not physical, is it? Not all our wounds are external. And that's what this passage in Psalms is pointing to. David's talking about, he's experiencing these internal wounds. He uses the word brokenhearted here. And he says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You know what that word translates to, the brokenhearted? It means this. It translates to something that has been crushed, injured, smashed, and shattered on the inside. Your inside has been smashed, shattered, injured, and crushed on the inside. He goes on to say that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. That word crushed there, what he's saying is, that word crushed, this is literally the translation for that word crushed. Something that has been pulverized to dust. He's saying here, my spirit has, I've experienced the pain so deep and so painful that my spirit felt as though it's been pulverized to dust. And his testimony is that God saves those who has felt that pain. God saves. He rescues. And he delivers. And he goes on. He says, many are the afflictions. Many are the disasters. Many are the burdens and the distress and the hurts of the righteous. You're not wound proof. You're not wound proof. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But here's the promise. The Lord delivers him out of one or two of them. No. That is a beautiful word. If you have your Bible and you write and scribble things that jump out to you, scribble the word, circle around the word all. He delivers the righteous out of all your afflictions. That is good news this morning. That is good news. And interestingly, our wounds don't disappear forever, though. The hurts and the pain does, because it says that He delivers us from them. He saves us. The word actually is to pluck and to pull out, right? He rescues us from them. But we're left with scars. We're left with scars. Why are we left with scars? I believe absolutely that they serve a purpose, and they serve a purpose to remind us that when we look back at that scar, they remind us of the healing power of the Lord. They remind us of who He is. They remind us that when we cry out to Him, He hears us and He delivers us. You see, your scars that are left over from those internal painful wounds, they are evidence of closure. The evidence that are left over, the scars that are left over, are evidence of pain that has been dealt with. Pain that has been dealt with. Have you ever wondered why God had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, but He chose not to remove the scars from Jesus? I think about that a lot. You know, I'm like, why? You know, in our glorified bodies, and when we're rising again, are we still going to have our physical wounds? You know, I don't know. Jesus did. But on that Easter evening, right, on that resurrection night, Jesus appeared to His disciples, and they were scared, and they were frightened, and they thought He was a ghost. And He says, no, look. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Go ahead and touch them. Look, see, believe. It's me. Ghosts don't have scars, He says, no. You know, Thomas was not in the room that night, but later he wanted to see his scars for himself. It's like, I don't believe it's really him. I don't really believe it's Jesus. And Jesus finds him, and again, He obliges him. He said, look, Thomas, touch my hand, man. Reach out your hand and touch this wound, this scar in my side where the spear sliced me. Go ahead and reach out and touch it and believe. For some reason, God wanted Jesus to have those scars. There's a purpose in their scars. Writing prophetically about Jesus Christ's death on the cross in Isaiah 53:4, the prophet says that He took up our infirmities and He carried our sorrows. He took up our infirmities and He carried our sorrows. That word sorrows there means that He carried our grief, our internal pain, and our eternal affliction. Internal affliction, not eternal. Internal affliction. So what we see here is that Jesus, when He was on the cross, He carried, when He shed His blood, He carried our inner pain and wounds on the cross with Him so that you don't have to. He carried them with Him on the cross. However, when we experience an emotional wound or a psychological wound, our body does not naturally go into recovery mode. Right? It's not like a physical wound where you get cut and automatically your body goes into recovery mode. It automatically goes into repairing the damage that was there. But God did not design our internal, our insides, our hearts and our spirits to heal on their own. He did not put an involuntary regenerative healing process in order to heal those unseen wounds. And the problem with these internal wounds, these emotional wounds, these psychological wounds, is that they're unseen, aren't they? And so they're very easy to hide because nobody knows about them but you. And they're very easy to hide. And when they're left unhealed, they have the ability to do detrimental damage. A lot of damage. They have the ability to affect us on a much deeper level. But conversely, the promise and the hope and the good news that we are talking about this morning is that when you bring them to the Lord, the promises that He gives us in Psalm 147:3 is that He will heal the brokenhearted. He will heal those who have been injured, crushed, shattered on the inside. And He will what? There it is up there. Bind up their wounds. This is the promise of your God. He will heal the brokenhearted. This is His promise. And He will bind up their wounds. You see, your scars are proof that God heals. Your scars are proof that God cares. Your scars are proof of God's faithfulness to who He is. And until Jesus has access to all those hurts, until He has complete access to all those hurts, all you're going to see when you look at those wounds is you're going to see the pain. You're going to be reminded of how much it hurt. You're going to be reminded of how encompassing and how just all and swallowing and enveloping that trauma was when you experienced that. But if you let Jesus bring healing and wholeness to those painful places on the inside, He promises to be near. He promises to heal. He promises to deliver you and to rescue them from them all. That is great news. And then they become evidence of God's healing. They become evidence of His restoration. They become evidence of His compassion. They become evidence of His comfort, His power, His closeness. For all of us, there are times in our lives in which we get scarred and we get wounded on the inside. None of us are exempt from it. He says, for many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we, you know, I think sometimes we're embarrassed because of these scars. And we think that we don't share them with people because that we think that they're ugly and that they're evidence of imperfection. And we don't want to share them with people. But let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you this morning. If your wounds have been brought to the cross and if they've been surrendered to Jesus and if you cry out to Him for help, the promise of the Word of God is that they will then become evidence of His healing touch. That is the truth of the Word of God. And they will become proof of His faithfulness. They will become proof of His goodness. They will become proof of His mercy in your life. They will become proof of His grace in your life. The deep inner wounds that have been healed by God become scars that glorify God. Deep inner wounds that have been healed by God become scars that glorify God. They are what we ascribe glory to Him. That's what we attribute worth to Him through them. They bear witness to the truth that He promises to bring us through. They bear evidence and truth to the fact that when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. They become evidence of the truth that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and He saves the crushed in spirit. They become evidence then that the Lord delivers all His people out of all afflictions. Your scars are a testimony. Your scars are tangible proof that once upon a time, there was this nasty, ugly wound. But the living God, who is so near to you, who loves you, who cares about you, has come near and He's healed and restored that wound. The living God placing His healing touch on your insides. On your insides. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. And you know what? No one can refute or argue with your story. No one can. You own it. You own it. Own those scars. Because they're going to forever testify of God's love and His grace and the healing that He's lavished upon you. Remember, like we said last week, your testimony is so important because it could absolutely, literally change the trajectory of somebody else's journey. That's how powerful your testimony is. There may be somebody in your circle of influence that just may need to hear of when your spirit was crushed, of when your spirit felt like it was pulverized to dust. Somebody in your circle of influence may need to hear of a time of this. But then God was near and He delivered you from its pain. They may need to hear of a time when you had a traumatic internal injury, but you cried out to God and He saved you and He rescued you and He healed you completely. Remember we said last week that we are conduits of truth. God places a high value on truth because He is the God of truth. And He's also the God that is primarily concerned with your insides, your heart. In Psalm 51:4, He says that God says it's His desire for us to experience truth in our innermost beings. He wants us to encounter the truth of who He is on our insides, on the deepest parts of our beings. So your story is important. So share it with somebody. Share it with somebody. Somebody needs to hear it. And so at this time, I'd like to call up to an eyewitness to the very truth that we're talking about. And so I'd like to call up Miss Kathy Gerber to the witness stand. Miss Kathy, if you would please come up to the witness stand. There you are. All right. Thank you. It doesn't have to be here. It's just a visual aid. That's what we call that thing.
Morning, everybody.
Miss Kathy, it's my understanding that you have been hurt deeply in the past, but your testimony is that you claim that you've now been healed and set free.
Yes.
Would you please share that with us?
I was around 8 years old. I grew up in Philly. And one night, I was with friends, and they were neighbors, and I was sexually abused. And during that time, I went home, and my mom and dad, they just got home from somewhere, and I went in my room with my sister, and I couldn't go to sleep, and I went in my mother's room, told her I couldn't go to sleep, and she rubbed my back so I could go to sleep, and my last thoughts were, I'm going to go to hell. God's going to send me to hell because of what I did. Now, I was 8 years old, so I really didn't know the ramifications of what it was like, and couldn't muddle through in my own thoughts, so they were my thoughts of God. And through the years, different choices I made, decisions I made, I would have to say I was consistently running from God, didn't trust Him. I grew up a little bit in the church knowing about God. I didn't have a personal relationship with Him, and it was very difficult. I could not, if anybody can identify, I couldn't understand how God loved me or even liked me. And they were my real thoughts, and they were unconscious. So all my behaviors, whether I was trouble, did this, did drugs, drank, hung out with the wrong crowd in my teen years, I eventually got to know the Lord in my 20s in a personal way. I actually went through a program, drug and alcohol program. It's called Teen Challenge. And there I began to know God. But I have to be honest. When we learn about God through the Word and we don't apply it into our personal life, it doesn't mean anything. It's all up here. So I got to know the Lord to the degree that I wanted to. I always had that tough wall up of, okay, God, I'm getting to know you, but I don't know you, and I don't trust you, and I don't have good feelings about you. I'm mad at you. And God broke through all that and began to love me. And even though I was fighting him tooth and nail, and the perception of God, my perception began to change. I never thought it would change, but because of the power of God, we do our part. And let me tell you, God, He does His part so much greater. And getting to know Him, God has healed many things. When you were talking about the wounds, I have a lot of stories. But the greatest thing that God has done in me, forgiveness. Forgiveness. I've learned to truly forgive. I could not forgive, but He forgave me. I couldn't even get that concept. He forgave me. You know, there's a scripture, 7 times 70. Now, when you get an opportunity, I'm not going to preach, look it up. There's a word before that, till 7 times 70. God made that so real to me. What does that mean, God? That means when I come on the earth, 7 times 70. It's in the book of Daniel. 490 years He came. And you know what He did? He brought forgiveness. So that wound of bitterness, unforgiveness, I didn't even know how to forgive. I said, Lord, all I have to do is forgive. God said, Kathy, you can't forgive on your own. Yeah. I have to help you.
Yeah.
And God helped me truly forgive from my heart. Not make pretend, not say all the right words, but truly forgive. I had fear. I had shame. Because what was done to me, and in result, I did not know how to not fear. I even feared God. God healed my fear. I'm not afraid of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. I am not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed because you know what? All those scriptures that Ryan, all the things that were up here, they're all true.
Yes.
See, when you're tested and you go through things and God brings you through, you know I have scars? You know what they remind me of? Who has brought me this far?
Yes.
God has brought me this far. And you know what? He carried me. Yes. He has been with me all this time. Never left me. Because you know what? His word says that. I will never leave you. Now, in closing, last night, I went to a concert. And it was awesome. And can I tell you, it was all about the same things that today. Healing, restoration, depression. And this one gentleman, he wrote a song. It's called Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. Mm. Anybody ever hear that song? Well, look it up. Danny Gokey. In it is, that's what we have to do with God. We go through things. We have to press in and know God. Continue to know him. And guess what? He helps us.
Yeah.
We do our part. He helps us. He heals us. And now, in my own heart, I know that I am healed. I know that I am.
Amen.
And the scars, even though I can't see them, you know what they remind me of? How great God is, how much he loves us. But it's a process. It isn't just quickly. You have to consistently grow in that and get to know God. Because you know what? He loves us, whether we follow him, whether we don't. And see our religious beliefs about God? I learned God's up here and I'm down here. There was a wall. That wall is removed now. God is touchable. He's faithful. He's loving. And you know the biggest thing is we can trust him.
Amen.
Deeply. The word trust means rely and depend on him totally for everything. Our pain, our sorrows, every situation in our life. It all goes back to trusting in God. See, and we can hear this. And we can say, yeah, Kathy, everything you're saying is the truth. But you know what the greatest thing is? Doing it.
Yeah.
When we're in situation, just trust God. Just trust him. It's not a cliche. How many of you know that you can trust them? Fully. That was the thing that was missing from my life. I knew God. I was growing in God. I was even in ministry. I didn't fully trust him. And you know what? He is the most trustworthy father on all the earth. Man will let you down. God never lets us down. So in closing, just keep that. Scripture says, I will never leave you or forsake you. They are words from our Father that we can take deeply into our hearts. Amen.
Amen. That is the gospel taking on flesh and blood. The gospel truth taking on flesh and blood. Don't hide your scars. Wear them as proof that God heals. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you're living with some memories of past hurt and trauma. And although you've confessed them and you feel like you've let them go, they're still the wound is still tender. And you wonder if it's ever even going to heal on the inside of you. And let me just say to you this morning, don't hide from these inner wounds. Allow God to have complete access to them. Allow God to have complete access. Because if you hide from them, you're depriving yourself of experiencing and discovering that Jesus is able to heal you just as graciously as he is to forgive you of your sins. That's what he wants to do. That's who he is. I don't know what your pain is, you do. But today the word of God to you is that he wants to bind up and heal those wounds. And maybe you need to pray with someone today. Maybe I've asked a couple people to, at the close of the service, as we're closing, I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Phil. If you need someone to pray with through this, there's going to be people making themselves available, Kathy and Jody. But if not, you can also go home and do what David did. And you cry out to the Lord for help. Go in your personal prayer closet and say, God, help me, deliver me. And if you don't, and if it doesn't happen tomorrow, do it again the next day. And then do it again the next day. And then next week. And then next month. And then next year if it still hasn't happened. God is faithful to deliver and to heal and to bind up those wounds. Amen. Pastor Phil.